By some counts, there are more than 600 different muscles in the human body. Some say 700, others put the number at 800. Muscles can be wide or flat. They can be shaped like triangles or diamonds or circles. Muscles get injured, they get torn, they get tired. They can be puny. Or they can be like John McClane's muscles.
What I'm doing right now is I hold poses in between sets. Because when you do that, you don't shake on stage.
John McClane is deep in training for an amateur bodybuilding competition. In case this isn't your sport of choice, bodybuilders lift weights to grow and sculpt their muscles. But when they compete on stage, they're judged by their posing and flexing. They don't lift anything. John's day job is as a personal trainer at the YMCA in Exeter. It's not uncommon for him to put in his 9-to-5 and then spend a few more hours at the gym afterwards. The clapping of iron plates, the whirring of treadmills, they're the gym rat's soundtrack, John's white noise. Some people come here to train for other sports, but this is his sport.
I don't know the jack about the Patriots. I don't know jack about baseball. But you want to know who won the Mr. Olympia in 1987, I can tell you who did it.
Lee Haney, by the way, not exactly a household name. Bodybuilding as a professional sport has never really broken through, never dominated the headlines, with perhaps Arnold Schwarzenegger as a lone exception, the Austrian Oak.
The greatest feeling you can get in a gym, or the most satisfying feeling you can get in the gym, is the pump. Let's say you train your biceps, blood is rushing into your muscles, and that's what we call the pump. Your muscles get a really tight feeling.
Schwarzenegger, mid-1970s, was the ultimate alpha male. Huge, swaggering, confident, all kinds of pumped up. John approaches the sport with a different playbook.
Anyone who's like super macho, the first thing they care about is throwing up as much weight as they can. And yeah, no, first thing you got to do if you're going to get anywhere is check your ego at the door.
But you understand why, I mean, from an outsider's perspective, like I can't think of anything more egotistical than standing on a stage showing your muscles off.
That's because you're looking at it from an outsider's standpoint. All right. So don't look at it from I'm up on stage showing my muscles off. Look at it as I've taken the time to shape and sculpt my body into a piece of moving art. And that's really what it is. I mean, you're essentially like a moving statue. So like Michelangelo's David or something like that. And that's what you're presenting. You're not some big rugged dude getting up there going, look at my chest, it's huge. No, you're a guy who's flowing and you're presenting art.
John is not the biggest, ruggedest dude. He's about 5'7", square-jawed with blonde hair. He got into lifting in high school and began following bodybuilding in college. In 2008, he started prepping for a bodybuilding tournament, but he was dealing with insomnia at the time. His body just couldn't handle the training. The sleep issue stayed with him for nearly a decade before he got on the right medication. It sounds bad. John doesn't like to talk about it. But today, he's feeling and sleeping a lot better. So at the age of 37, he's going to compete in his first bodybuilding competition, the Granite State Open. It's the same tournament he started to train for in 2008.
My family's also a huge support team for this, as they've seen me go through a lot of struggles, and we've kind of gone through a lot together. So, yeah, I'm what I'm doing right here. This is a dream I've had since I was in my early 20s. So any sacrifice seems like nothing, you know?
Bodybuilding puts a lot of stress on the body. It's also, obviously, a lot of time in the gym, and the diet. The diet is nuts. We'll hear about that in a minute. It's not all sacrifice, though. Like lots of athletic endeavors, like lots of crafts or hobbies, the repetition and singular focus can turn into something relaxing.
I call it moving meditation, honestly, is what weight training and training period is like, because you could be having the worst day ever. Then you hit a really good workout and then you just feel...
After finishing an hour of weights, today it was biceps, back, and abs, he gets ready to do some posing practice in the group exercise room at the Y. Just having muscles isn't enough. Remember, you are presenting art. And what do bodybuilders wear to present that art?
Just describe to me what you have on right now.
What do I have on? I have on a banana hammock, is what these are kind of called. What is that? That means you can pretty much see... everything short of my bits and pieces. So, yeah.
By the way, the exercise room has mirrors for walls. Turn away from the bits, and their reflection still finds you, like Mona Lisa's eyes. On competition day, John and every person in his category will get brought onto stage twice. First time, the entire group will come out for what are called comparisons. Side by side, the athletes will go through a series of poses that highlight different muscle groups, lats, biceps, quads. The second time athletes go on stage, they do it alone. They get to perform a choreographed posing routine set to music. John has chosen the 1986 song Your Love by British rockers The Outfield. Why, you ask? Well, for starters, it's important for your song to be unique. If everyone performs to Eye of the Tiger, nobody will stand out for the judges. Odds are, Your Love will be his alone. Second, John is a big fan of 1980s-era bodybuilders. To him, it was the sport's golden age. The physiques weren't quite as ballooned as today. The posing was better. He starts his routine with a side flex before turning his back to the audience. Then he pinches his back muscles to the beat. His right leg is spiked, highlighting his hamstring and calf muscle. John then spins to the side, pumping his right arm before sliding into a classic front double bicep flex. At this point, his face explodes into a smile. It's meant to show the audience, in this case just me, that he's in total control of his muscles, that this abnormal physique is perfectly normal for him.
That's the first thing I do psychologically is I take myself out of it. And the guy that looks at me in the mirror and smiles back is who you become for a minute. For 1 minute, 60 seconds, you become that guy who's full of confidence, that individual who's just like overflowing with just, I got this, I'm the greatest, you know, like I'm, and that's not you, like that's not me, like, you know, that's not the type of person I am, but that's what you have to be for that 60 seconds.
You become something else as a bodybuilder, someone else. It's not quite like playing a character or a role, but more like walking around inside a fantasy version of yourself. 60 seconds in a costume of muscles and veins. Then you're back to being John McClain again. Just before the gym closes, another personal trainer here, a guy named Rome Bello, joins us. Rome is also a competitive bodybuilder. He's been helping John fine-tune his routine and poses.
He looks ripped, but so is everybody else going into the show.
Yeah.
Rome barks out what are called the mandatory poses, and John follows along. Lat spread, side tricep. Flex, kid.
You know, as a judge, they're going to be looking at his legs, his nice shoulders, you know, his abs, and his lats, which should be fanned out a little bit more here. There you go. You know, and they're going to be looking at a lot of this right here, which is looking great. So when he gets nice and tan, you're really going to see a lot of his lines.
When he gets nice and tanned. Michelangelo's David might be white stone, but bodybuilders tend to go with a darker hue. Nearly all competitors get spray tans before going on stage, even people with naturally dark skin. The bronzer helps create an even skin tone. It covers up stretch marks, and it counteracts the washout effect that happens under bright stage lights. Since this is John's first competition, he's decided to do a trial run a few weeks in advance. He's booked an evening tanning appointment with Ryan Healy in Manchester. The GPS leads me to a funeral home parking lot.
I am a licensed funeral director and embalmer. Actually, my father owns the funeral home here, and this, I just started bodybuilding, and I got a competition spray tan, and I said, this is amazing. But yeah, full-time, I'm a funeral director, and this is my side hobby.
Ryan operates Golden Standard spray tans out of a building adjacent to her family's funeral home. All her equipment and oils are neatly arranged in a side office. John heads to the bathroom to undress.
We can't have any tan lines, so they actually we just kind of cover up what we can.
What do you cover it up with?
Well, you would use like a sock or...
Gym sock.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not a special sock.
No, just a sock.
Bodybuilders tend to favor an industrial strength tan. This is far more bronzer than a bride-to-be may choose. 5 to 6 coats.
All right, here we go. So you can spin around. I'll start with your back.
Healy uses an air gun to spray on a base coat. Within seconds, John changes from, by his own description, whiter than a fish's belly, to something more, well...
Different colors have different shades, but I guess you would call this like a mahogany brown. Mahogany.
The effect is immediate. Mahogany John is instantly more muscular, more defined. That effect will swirl down the drain tonight after he showers, but with it on, he's one more step closer to being that guy on stage that he needs to be, the confident sculpture. Confident sculpture's got to eat, and outside in the funeral home parking lot, John zips open a cooler. Inside are neat stacks of glass Tupperware. John's dad, Gene, who came along for the ride tonight, seems to get a kick out of this part.
Meals do you eat a day?
I eat 7 meals a day, literally.
But if you saw what he ate, you would cry.
That is true. Yep.
Breakfast for John consists of a protein shake and 0.25 ounces of peanuts. 2 hours later, breakfast number two.
It's about 4.85 ounces of brown rice pasta, 2/3 a cup of all whites, which is egg white substitute, which is also equals 5 egg whites and a whole egg. And then after that, 2 hours later, I'll do like, usually it's like lunch, which is like 4 ounces of chicken, a salad with a quarter cup of red peppers and 0.25 ounces of peanuts. Then 2 hours later, it's...
We're counting peanuts. He's literally like counting peanuts.
Oh, I'm natural, man. That's what it takes to do this.
By natural, John means he's not a steroid user. Everyone in this upcoming competition will need to pass a drug test. So to put on muscle, you need to eat just tons and tons of protein. The meal plan varies, but some days, John is downing as much as 300 grams of protein. That's more than 5 times what the average male consumes. Frankly, it sounds like a gastrointestinal nightmare. Chicken, lean steak, salad, repeat. It's disciplined, it's boring, no cheat days.
I'm rigid, what can I say? That's why this is not, let's try this today. Yeah, no. Diet matches training matches goal. That's always how it's been, that's always how it's gonna be.
John spends his days surrounded by motivational posters at the gym. They seem to have seeped into his subconscious. But if you're going to strut out on stage with the belief that your body looks better than somebody else's body, that your delts and pecs and glutes are more sculpted than someone else's delts, pecs, glutes, you better not be bluffing. If you second-guess your swole, so could the judges.
There must be some nerves, though, right?
Not really. No.
Come on, you got it. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. I practiced. I've dieted, dude. I've killed myself to do this. I should have done this 10 years ago. Like, 10 years ago. That's when I was originally going to do this exact same show. It's been long enough. I'm not nervous.
The day of the 24th annual Granite State Open, it's pouring rain. The event is held inside the Dover High School auditorium.
This new auditorium is bigger than the one we had, so it doesn't look like there's a lot of people, but there really is. So thank you all for being here today.
The venue will not see its capacity tested today. The empty seats are a good reminder that this sport is for practically no one except the athletes who love it. First up, the female a cappella group, the Funky Divas, perform the national anthem. Meanwhile, backstage, 84 athletes from across New England are getting in a final pump. There are a bunch of different categories in this day-long competition. Different age groups, couples posing, bikini judging. I'm not sure why, but tunes from the Rat Pack era seem to be in heavy rotation during the early rounds.
As long as there's the two of you, you've got the world and all its chun.
John is competing in what's called the Male Novice category. It's for athletes making their bodybuilding debut.
Okay, next on stage.
It's still pretty early in the afternoon. John and 3 other chiseled men walk out in their Speedos. John is stage right wearing royal blue. His tan looks great. The judges, sitting front and center, call out a series of posing commands.
Same position, front lat spread.
Let's see that boy.
Muscles and veins seem to come alive under the surface. Weird muscles, too. Things in your thigh you probably didn't know were there. John says bodybuilding is presenting the body as art. But it's also science. It's a medical school textbook open to the page on muscularity. Having myself never judged a bodybuilding competition, it's hard to know exactly what separates the Hulks from the Hulks. John says the judging usually comes down to a few things: symmetry and proportion, conditioning, and presentation. Judges look to see if the muscle groups are built up equally. Are they well-defined with little or no fat? And is the athlete presenting with grace? The biggest athlete doesn't always win, though being biggest can help. From my seat in the seventh row, John and his competitors all look pretty good. Though it's clear right away that the competitor third from the left just seems massive, bigger and leaner than everyone else. Let's slot him in as the favorite.
Great, gentlemen, thank you, and we'll see you later on tonight.
After the comparison round is over, John and the others walk off stage. There's now a long gap before the individual posing routines begin. I find John eating a rice cake backstage. He's pleased with how the first part went. He transformed into the person he thinks he needs to be.
I got up there and I was like, and then I just closed my eyes and I saw him, that guy. He's up there and he's just larger than life. And he's smiling and he's posing and he looks awesome. And he's like that dude who's always been in the mirror or whatever, who you're like, who's that dude? You know, like, that ain't me. You know, like, what's he doing? Like, yeah. And I saw that guy just out there doing the routine, doing everything. And I walked into him. And that's what I did.
He's not making perfect sense, but you get the idea. For someone whose showmanship doesn't come naturally for, he figured out how to put on a good show. It's still a few more hours before the individual posing routines kick off. Because of some sort of administrative glitch, John wasn't on the roster when he checked in this morning. So he was assigned number 84. 84 out of 84. He'll go last this evening.
This is John McLean. From Exeter, New Hampshire, and he's a personal trainer. He'd like to thank his family and coaches for their support.
John walks out on stage, turns his back, hits his mark. Something's wrong. The sound system worked fine for the previous 83 competitors, but now his song is playing too slow. Some kind of glitch. John is understandably thrown off. He yells out, "Speed it up," but there's no fix. He works through his routine in slow motion, but it's a train wreck. He tries to smile through gritted teeth. When the trophies are awarded later on in the night, John's is the smallest in his category.
In fourth place, we have Tom McLean, number 84.
John McLean, not Tom McLean. Glitch number three, but who's counting? So the competition didn't turn out exactly as he'd hoped for. The winner was the biggest guy. I'm not sure the music necessarily mattered in the long run. But a few weeks later, back at the gym, it's still on his mind.
Did it throw you off, the music?
Yeah, it did. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little I was pissed. Who am I kidding? I was. I mean, I'd been in here until closing every night. You know, I've been practicing for hours and hours and hours that one routine. I practiced it twice with my coach. It went perfect. And, you know, it didn't happen, but that's okay, because the way I see it is there's no place to go but up.
Most of us expose our bodily flaws only in private, behind the closed bathroom door. A good hard look in the mirror, a shrug, and then back into the world with your clothes on. Bodybuilders rely on others to tell them what's not working. Coaches and judges deliver the verdict about where you're coming up short.
Are there specific muscle groups or parts of your body that you're going to try to focus on more?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
You're talking about lagging body parts. is really what
I wouldn't be so critical.
That's the term we use in the sport, is lagging body parts.
Okay, tell me about your lagging body parts.
Lagging
John.
Body parts. So my lower body does not match my upper body. I'm all legs. So, like, honestly. My upper body, especially my chest, needs work.
He's got a plan. He's got time until the next competition, sometime in the spring. For John, the glitches and finishing where he did, it doesn't appear to have tarnished the sport for him.
I could see some people just like quitting and being like, you know what, I'm going to pursue something else.
Well, that's the thing, dude. I'm not that type of person. I'm the type of person where if I could get kicked down, it pisses me off and I want to come back even harder. So, yeah, that's how I roll. I mean, that's just how I do it. Like, I don't just close the door and say, this is impossible. No, I say, it's impossible? No, I think not. And that's it.
Cliche, I know, but what else could you say? Athlete loses the big game, this is what they come up with. You take your lumps and you move on. You work on those lagging body parts. Remember, in bodybuilding, it's diet matches training matches goal. You want your 600-plus muscles to look good next time around, even better than the person next to you? Well, there's only one way to get there, buddy. You gotta hit the gym.